are listening to the Fundamentalist Podcast.
Until the light takes us, am I right, Bog?
Hello, one and all. Welcome into the Fundamentalist Podcast. I'm your host, dual guest, joined as always by Richard Donahue.
Greetings.
And Tyler Fleming, the Noir Hour Podcast.
That's right. Here I am.
Rock you like a hurricane.
Yes, sir.
Welcome into part two of the Fundamentalist Podcast presents the year end extravaganza. Last time we talked to you, we gave you the very best black metal that has been released in the year 2022, according to us. And we're going to take a little bit of a step back. We're going to reflect, look back on the greatest live shows that your dear panelists have witnessed personally in the year 2022. The best bands, the bands that you knew would always deliver the goods, the band you never even thought could entertain you, but they ended up being the best band of the night, the band you never thought you'd get to see live, and when you did, they was everything you ever thought it could be. All this, plus the biggest news stories of 2022 in the world of heavy metal. All this and more, plus a fucking special guest on the Fundamentalist Podcast. It's just after 10 p.m. here for me. I just saw Argentina win the World Cup on penalties against France. Pretty incredible shit. But I want to talk about more incredible shit.
Yes.
Of course, talking about heavy metal shows in live, in person. This thing we thought we forgot all about during the fever dream that was the COVID-19 pandemic. Doesn't even seem like real life that it was just a year and a half ago. 18 months ago, we were like in lockdown, and now it's like life is back all over again.
For the most part, I agree.
With that being said, I don't want to take away a spotlight from my boy, my brother, my co-host, Richard Donahue, who came up with the categories.
All right. The categories are as follows. We have the first category, which is going to be bucket list bands, which is pretty self-explanatory. Bands thought you'd never see and saw. They were totally fucking amazing. Following that, we have biggest surprises, bands that didn't expect much or had somewhat of an idea of what you'd see that you saw was fucking mind-blowing. The next category we have is Constant Badassery, which is essentially a band you've seen multiple times. And
the Goat Horror Award.
Yeah, the Goat Horror Award that always fucking kills it. You can always, you know, put your mind down on a ticket for a show by them. You know it's to be a fucking experience. No, at the minimum, they're set. So Fucked Up was like seeing them for the first time. Essentially, you're so shit hammered on whatever substance or drink you like. The first thing you saw was all kind of like a blur. And you saw them get more sober. Like, wow, that was a whole new experience. I appreciate that a lot. Following with Good But Disappointing. Things a band you liked, heard a lot about, saw. And didn't quite reach the benchmark that you had for them. And last but not least, cool live bands. You know, bands you saw, knew a little bit about it, turned out to be really good. Not necessarily great, but really good, solid, and delivered the fucking goods.
That being said, let's dive into it. Part two, the Fundamentalist Podcast, year-end extravaganza. I would be remiss if I didn't start with our very esteemed special guest, Tyler Fleming of the Noir Hour Podcast. Sir, give us your biggest bucket list band that you saw in 2022.
Well, my biggest bucket list band, let's see, my bucket list band is going to be Demon Hunter because they don't tour a whole lot. So I saw them this year for the second time, and it was great. It's incredible.
From what I recall, they like their tours are maybe 12 to 20 dates, and then maybe once a year, maybe twice. Like, it's definitely not a... they're not like a big enough band where they can justify just being out on the road 360 days a year. So,
well, I don't think that's the case. I think they are big enough. I think that they choose to not tour so much. They put out albums. They put out an album every 2 years, every 2 or 3 years, but they don't tour them. So I finally got to see it and it was great. It was great. It was awesome. I got to meet the entire band, and also I got to meet They had a road guy that was like doing road crew for them, and it turned out to be the guitar player of one of my favorite bands of all time, The Becoming. And that's an old Tooth and Nail band, and he was doing road crew for Demon Hunter.
So Tooth and Nail, that's that old like Christian metalcore.
Yes, it is. We met and we've become great friends, and he's in another band now, and I've been promoting his stuff. But it's all good stuff. It's all great. I got to meet Demon Hunter and hang out with him. And then I got to meet another guy that I never thought that I'd ever have the chance to talk to, because that band dispersed a long time ago. So that's that old school emo shit coming out of me.
So we have Demon Hunter for Tyler Fleming as far as his bucket list band of the year. I have to say I have two this year, and I'm really fortunate to be able to say that. So I've been a huge fan of Rammstein. Finally got the opportunity to see them here in Prague, back in March of this year. The pyrotechnic show was everything I'd hoped for. The set list maybe was a little heavy on the newer Rammstein, which I don't love quite as much as the older stuff, but all the same, it was still fantastic. It was everything that I wanted. Singing along with a bunch of Germans who had made the trip over from Germany, and some Czechs with some classic shit like Du Hast or Reise, Reise. Absolutely fantastic. Love it. But as much as I like Rammstein, my love for Rammstein does not compare to my love for black metal. The main reason I love the genre, motherfucking Emperor. And I got to see Emperor for the first time back in August. They sounded incredible. And as much as I had to fight off the feeling that it was just Isan with some hired guns playing Emperor tunes, which is the same feeling I'm going to have to fight off in a few months here in Prague when I watch Phil and Selma fucking play Pantera tunes, I still felt it a genuine Emperor experience. The sound wasn't that great. It kind of sucked where I was at. The Psycho Las Vegas main stage suffered from sound issues, but it was still incredible. And hearing things like Ye in Transipium, goosebumps. It made me feel like I was 21, 22, seeing some of my favorite bands for the first time again. And that's a feeling I've not had in a long time when it comes to metal, seeing live bands. It's one of those days where it just reaffirms. I feel bad for people who don't like metal. Do they get this feeling? Maybe they do. Maybe they don't, but I doubt it. Emperor.
I doubt as well, yeah.
Emperor, bucket list band, 2022. Rammstein, honorary mention. Donahue, biggest bucket list band you saw in 2022.
Yes, I have quite a few, actually. Probably one of the biggest I saw this year was Primordial, the Irish black and folk band. Probably a favorite metal band from Ireland in general. I bought my tickets like back in July for this. I had a passport and everything. And it's actually my first time leaving the country as well. And really have no idea if I'd even be able to get across the border. So I drove 4.5 hours from Boston to the Canadian border, get there. And the guy's kind of grilling me, asking me all his questions. And he's like, all right, here you go. Enjoy your stay. As well, I was like, holy shit. I made it the fuck in, and Primordial did not disappoint. They had a great set list. I heard every song I wanted to hear, minus the song Gallows Hymns. Great sound. Their vocalist, Al Averill, was a beast of a front man. And there's a clear difference between a front man and a singer. He was a front man in every sense of the word. My only complaint would be, honestly, sound was great as well, is the fact when he did the horns, he didn't do the full thumb lock behind. He did like the love sign, which was a bit lame to me. But minus that, though, great fucking set. And as a fan of nearly 16 years, it was phenomenal to see them.
Just in the name of time, give me an honorable mention, and then we'll move on to the next category. We've got 10 categories to get through, brother man.
My honorable mention, knocking down the other 10 I had, would have to be Triptychon and Triumph of Death at Maryland Death Fest. I have been a fan of Tom G. Warrior, the first of Celtic Frost Records, Hellhammer, Triptychon, for years. And being able to see Triptychon on a Saturday night play the old Celtic Frost stuff, they closed their set with the epic, the prolonging of the first Triptychon record was a fucking dream come true. It was like, to me, a religious experience, just being with like 10 feet away from the man himself live. And then the next night, the next afternoon, be able to catch him perform Hellhammer, which is pretty much the precursor to all Black Death thrash and shit. That was like the foundational fans of them to see that crusty, obnoxious, evil, sloppy shit live was a total dream come true, and I wouldn't trade it for the fucking world.
Fuck yeah. Hell yeah. So those are our bucket list bands that we've gotten to see here at the Fundamentalist Podcast. Biggest surprise. I'm going to start this one off. Actually leads into a band that I should have mentioned in the previous category, and that is Panopticon. I got to see them for the very first time in Berlin. It was fucking phenomenal. One of my favorite bands, one of my favorite black metal bands. One of the bands that opened up for them outside of Ofsky was this band called Grift from Denmark. Not like I understand Danish after all. Let's not pretend like I knew what they were saying. But I do know their merch was tight. And I do know they sounded really cool after about 6 or 7 beers. Biggest surprise.
Who fucking doesn't sound good after 6 or 7 beers? I'm sure Limp Bizkit would sound good after 6 or 7 beers. But get behind this groove stuff.
I'll find out. I'm seeing Limp Bizkit in April. I'm going with my coworkers, dude. I'm going to see it just because they're like.
I'm jealous.
Are you?
Yeah, I love the Sealant Biscuit, man.
I hope
give
it's
me
good.
Stuff to break.
That's right, motherfucker. Hell yeah.
And then I'm going to say there is another surprise, and that was I didn't expect I Am Morbid, which is essentially the David Vincent Morbid Angel cover band, kind of like Jeff Tate's Queensryche running around. Yes. That sounds like a dig, but I didn't expect them to be so good. But even their Trey Asikoth lookalike, not only did he look like Trey Asikoth, but he sounded like him too on the guitar, which is the most important thing. And David Vincent still sounds incredible. Those first 4 Morbid Angel albums, the material he's doing from them was great. Like when Where the Slime Live and Dominate and Dawn of the Angry, that shit fucking slaps live when it's David Vincent doing the vocals. And it doesn't matter that maybe it's not Morbid Angel. It's I Am Morbid on the t-shirt, but you know what? Hearing shit like Blessed of the Sick or any cuts from Covenant or Altars of Madness, it made up for it in droves. And I didn't expect it. I kind of expected it to be a legacy act. It'd be a fucking lazy, essentially cover band like performance. But it felt like Morbid Angel when I saw them in 2016, when it was the original lineup, fucking running around doing an actual Morbid Angel set. It felt like the same thing. So that's my biggest surprise. I Am Morbid, Fleming.
Okay, so I got to see Crowbar this year, and one of the local bands really struck me. It's a band called Oracle. They are they're from Mobile, Alabama. Fucking awesome band.
Mobile?
I think Mobile. Yeah, they're from Mobile, Alabama. And they stole it, I feel like. They did a great job. It was really intriguing. And I really enjoyed the shit. So if there's a band that struck me that I didn't expect, it was going to be Oracle, and they did it.
All right. So my honorable mention for biggest surprise band of 2022 would have to be Sacramentum. I was already a big fan of their Coming of Chaos form. And I guess I'm in the minority of not thinking far away from the Sun, their debut record is like the God's gift to man of a lot of
black. I would say that's the only great Sacramentum record.
I disagree. I think Coming of Chaos is a superior record overall, songwriting wise, production wise, and whatnot. But there are a lot of different opinions. It's all good shit. Anyway, continuing on, go fuck yourself, Duel. So I saw them actually twice this year, so it was very cool. The first time was the last band I saw at Maryland Death Fest. And after 4 days of headbanging, moshing, walking around, my feet were fucking dying, and my boy Paul from Utah, been a fan of it, been talking for years, the first time meeting MDF. I'm sitting there. He had already left. It's like, dude, should I stay? It's like, you know, I was like, it's the third song they're playing, and my feet are fucking just, it's pain, just fucking pure misery.
Dear listener at home, you should listen to Paul because he showed us Moonlight Sorcery on the Fundamentalist Podcast, and therefore his opinion is gold until therefore otherwise mentioned.
Yes, I get the information from him, the funnel to Duel, it flows it to y'all. So it's like, it's kind of like back in the day with the buckets of water for the fire.
I've disseminated Moonlight Sorcery to 6 different people. So if you're listening, any band, if you disseminate your music to this Paul character and it's good, it just keeps funneling down.
But
just got to get past Paul. Paul the Gatekeeper. That's his new fucking name. Paul the Gatekeeper.
But Paul told me, no, dude, stay. It's worth it. And he was fucking right. It was phenomenal. It's truly like, as my buddy Evan put it, that record. So it's like a time capsule, essentially the early 90s melodic black metal. And seeing it before live was phenomenal. Their vocalist, Carl, he used to play bass. He does his drunk uncle weird hand motions. Like, it's also like he's dancing on stage. He gets the goblet of blood for the track Blood Will Be Spilled, pours all over himself. And it's metal as fuck. He looks like your drunk uncle. It's majestic. And I got to see the performance as well in Montreal with Primordial. They played right before.
Is he balding? Like, please tell me he's balding. So it's like a skeleton.
It's a skeleton. Yeah. It's whimsical hair in the back. Yeah, it's very much balding. But awesome. Sacramento got to play before Primordial and were fantastic again. And
the only thing that could make this better is if we were in like some biker bar in Gulfport, Mississippi. Half bag of meth cane deep. Yes. Yes.
But
I'm 24 all over again.
But Sarah was awesome, and I definitely appreciate Far Away from the Sun a lot more than I used to. I definitely get the hype and why people like it so much. But my favorite and biggest surprise of this year would be when I went to Manchester, New Hampshire. 2 years, Devastation of Nation was supposed to do, but due to coronavirus, didn't happen. Finally happened. Rotting Christ headlining, Bork Nagar, Vale of Naff, a whole bunch of Ghost Bath, a whole bunch of other fucking bands. And I was a fan of Rotting Christ. Been listening to them for over 10 years. Massive fan. And Bork Nagar played before Rotting Christ. And I love Rotting Christ. Their performance was awesome, but Bork Nagar blew them off the fucking stage. And as a hardcore fan of Rotting Christ, that kind of hurts to admit. But yeah, sound-wise, like I said, one thing, Bork Nagar all sounded better than Rotting Christ. Like, Rotting Christ was really loud. Like, the performance was fine. The mix was fine. But Rotting Christ was overtly loud. Whereas Bork Nagar was still loud, but, I don't know, just vibe better. And I'm not sure the name of their vocalist, keyboardist, but that dude has a fantastic voice. His playing is phenomenal. But that would be my number one surprise of 2022. Back to you, Duel.
Next category is constant badassery. Tyler Fleming, give us your constant badass, a band you've seen many times before, but always delivers the goods.
Okay, well, that would be Crowbar, delivering the fucking goods all year long in 2022. Jesus Christ. I saw Crowbar in the same town that I saw them in 7-8 years ago, and they barely drew a crowd. They sold the fucking place out this year. Incredible. That's the problem with where I'm at, is there's not a whole lot of good shit coming around my area. But
hey, I feel you, bro. There was Wayfair in New Orleans just a few days ago. That was a really sweet black metal show. And then there's also coming to Mobile. There's a big show coming to Mobile. It's Cloak. Yeah, it's Cloak and Imperial Triumphant at the Music Box, bro.
That's be a banger.
You should fucking go to that shit. Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's awesome, man.
I'll fucking be there. I haven't even heard about it, but I'll be there.
Yeah, it's happening, I think, in January or February. Yeah, dude, Cloak is great. Black and Roll from Atlanta. And I played with Imperial Triumphant with Curse the Flesh and Jake back in like 2016. Yeah, he was down in Florida back before no one knew who the fuck they were then. And now they're fucking on big tours. Well, check that shit out. Donahue, constant badass.
My runner-up would be Immolation, one of my favorite bands. I have a tattoo. I have like at least 15 of their fucking shirts, all the records, all shebang. I got to see them 3 times this year. The first time was in Worcester Palladium upstairs with my son, actually. He's 12 years old. It was his first death metal show. So that was really cool to, you know, be able to experience that with him. The opening bands were great. Mortiferum was great, specifically. And Black Anvil is lame as fuck. How they get in these tours, these big tours like Cannibal Corpse and now with Enslaved Insomnium, blows my mind. Whatever.
You let them know, man. Let them know.
And I got to see them twice at Maryland Death Fest. Well, the pre-fest and Sunday, the final day. My only complaint about it was, but I saw in Worcester, it was the new Seth New Songs. The songs they usually play, Father Not the Father, Dawn of Possession, shit like that. And it was the same set list at the pre-fest at MDF and the same set list the final day at MDF. I was hoping they might change it up between those two. They had a new song or something. It was the fucking same. That was the only disappointing part of it. And my favorite concert badassery live band would be Voivod. 4th time seeing them, 2nd time with my old lady, and it's one of my favorite, most fun live bands I've ever seen. Huge fan. The newest record's really good. Check that shit out. But yeah, Voivod would be my number one constant badassery band of 2022.
So I think I have two constant badass bands of 2022, and both of them I haven't seen like an obnoxiously heavy amount of times, but enough that I think that I can safely call them constant badasses. So the first one would be Ghost. This was the fifth time I saw Ghost this year. Pretty much I've seen them on every album cycle, essentially. And I was a little worried because I saw them on the last album cycle after they put out Prequel, slightly disappointing live performance, slightly disappointing record. Really started to get the vibe that maybe the band was going downhill, but that's not to be the case. They had a real comeback record, really a comeback live performance. I really loved the performance of every song that they played off of the most recent record, Impera, whether it was Kaiserion or Spillways or Watchers in the Sky, 20s.
Great song.
Just exactly. Almost everything is an absolute fucking banger. And the live performance was on point from Ghost. So I have to say they are easily my constant badass award. But another band that I want to give it to, maybe it's a slight runner-up award, is At the Gate. So I've only seen At the Gates three times in my life, but I saw them twice this year. And nice. That's what really hammered it home, that it doesn't matter whether they were out of the game for 15, 20 years, 10, well, more like 15 years after releasing Slaughter of Their Soul and just kind of essentially retiring. Now that they're back, they're three albums in, they just bring it. They bring the Melodeath goods, and they're one of the best bands in Melodeath. And even though I felt like on that night they were usurped by the badassery of In Flames live.
That's crazy, honestly. You just that statement, because In Flames was such a decline the past couple of years. I believe you, but that's dude, crazy.
I agree, but In Flames played almost nothing but old shit. Like 2005 and before is like... Yeah. The latest thing they played was 2005. It was awesome.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
Jesus. Yes. It is so, it's so hard to say anything bad about In Flames.
Yeah. I had never seen them live before. They blew me away, because I told my friend, we have to go. This is an At the Gate show, not an In Flames show. He's like, I've never heard of At the Gates. And then at the end, I was like, that was badass, wasn't it? He was like, yeah, that was cool. And at the end, he was like, In Flames is badass, wasn't it? And I had to admit, it's like, yeah, yes, that was fucking good. Yes. That was
fun. I actually also got to catch in At the Gates this year as well. It was our first time seeing them since their reunion back in 2008 at the Palladium. I was going to see that at the Palladium, the outdoor version of it. And they put on a killer show. I was actually fairly surprised. I heard some of Thomas's vocals the past couple of years. They have particularly great, but he blew it out the water. They were great. Their guitars had kicked out, so they got this guy, I forget his name, who's the guy that's playing Atheist now, to fill in for the lead parts. He fucking nailed it. I mean, he played Atheist, obviously, said nailed At the Gates, but they used to Slaughter Soul start to finish. It was phenomenal. I was headbanging the whole fucking time, man. So, hell yeah.
Let's move on to the next category then, shall we, gentlemen? And that is a more negative connotation attached. It's a trigger warning for those involved, just letting you know. Most disappointing live band of 2022. We're going to say some negative shit now. Trigger warning ending in 3, 2, 1. Donahue, give us your most disappointing band.
I got two, as per usual. Honorable mention, I will say Necrofire. I was a big fan of their last record. And I got to catch up Sunday at Maryland Death, Sunday, the final day of Maryland Death Fest. And they weren't bad. Like, the bass player did his thing. And he had the vocalist and guitarist was fine, but their guitarist was like a fucking statue. All I did was mirror the singer, guitarist. It was just fucking lame. Like, it was statuesque, slow. They're boring. Like, musically, I heard all the songs I wanted to hear. It was a good set list, but why? I was like, after seeing their performance, I thought, well, I'd rather just listen to the record, honestly. So, but my most disappointing would honestly have to be Decrepit Birth. I've been bitching about this for years. I wanted to see them forever. And if I caught them in July.
Under strange circumstances, though, yeah?
Yeah. Let me explain why. So I went to New Hampshire with my wife. And the opening bands were decent. The best one was Stabbing from Texas. Good slammy type death metal. Check it out. But for whatever reason, I guess there was some issue with the bass player. So the bass player was not there. So it was just their guitarist, Matt Sotelo, the drummer, and Bill. And Duel would tell you for years how Bill's kind of a boring front man. And without another, with just one person playing an instrument on stage, like a guitar type instrument, Matt's up there front playing, and Bill's back there by the door. Was, doo, 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 doo. Oh, it's a part to come up and sing. It was, I've been waiting again, like 10 years to see this band. I was just like, it was good. It wasn't bad, but that bass player would have made a huge difference. So, yeah, it was just kind of eh. Though they did do a cool cover of Once Upon the Cross by Deicide. I didn't expect that. That was killer. It was a good set list, but they need a bass player. I'm sorry. They need a bass player while playing live. And I think the next night he was back with the band. I was like, God damn, I got fucked after 15 years trying to see them. But yeah, that would be my most disappointing bands of 2022 in a live sense.
I suppose I don't have a necessarily super most disappointing band because every band that I went to go see essentially delivered what I wanted. Although the biggest one, if I had to say, and it's through no fault of their own, was the Psycholog Vegas set of Samael. The sound issues were so incredible. I ended up leaving after about six songs. It took a lot to last for six songs. The first song was basically just vocals and drums. The guitar was cutting out. The bass was cutting out so much, keyboards, everything. And basically after six songs, that I had not seen a single song that had had every instrument.
Actually
audible throughout the song. There was something fucked up every single time. I had to leave. I didn't dig it, unfortunately. Honorable mention, one of the final shows ever from Nuclear Assault. They cut the set off three songs early because they said they were hot. Come on, bro. It's one of your last shows ever.
I had heard they'd done some live shows, some show in Virginia, like in August or something. And Bill Connolly, the vocalist guitarist, was apparently fucking shit hammered. And there's photos and video too of what's his name? Big Man.
Dan Locher.
Dan Locher's just giving Bill the death stare, like, what the fuck, dude? He's nothing being said. He's like, are you fucking kidding me? He's still fucking playing. And I've heard that over the years too. Like, don't give Bill booze till after the set. Because if you do it before, it's gonna be a train wreck. So I'm not sure if that was an issue back in the day, but apparently since they reunited, this has been kind of a recurring issue.
It might have been. I couldn't really tell from the body language. I think they were all just done because that pool stage at Psycho was a fucking nightmare this year. But regardless.
If I'm correct, they replaced Violence, if I'm correct, right? Who were supposed to play and had to cancel for whatever reason. So they were actually the replacement band. So
huge upgrade. I'm glad I got to see it because I got to say I saw them live. I got to say I saw Nuclear Assault live. That's awesome.
I got to see Violence twice this year. They were great.
Yeah. You have to tell me about it next time. Fleming.
I will.
Most disappointing band.
All right. Well, I was thinking about it while you guys were talking. And there was one band that I saw this year, and I cannot remember who they were opening for, but it was fucking terrible. And I hate to be that guy. I hate to be that guy.
Embrace the hate, my friend. Embrace the hate.
I hate to be that guy, man, but this guy came out very tight jeans, screaming some shit, and it was terrible. It was a bad show. The band is called Tala. That would be TALLAH. They're lucky though, because they're getting Revolver magazine coverage, and hey, that's great for them. But the shit was bad. Okay, and the whole show, I don't know, it was just fucking horrible. Honestly, there's no words to describe.
It was just bad. It just fucking sucked. There's no redeeming qualities to it at all. Like, oh, yeah,
well,
guitars,
I mean,
there's,
you know, hey, maybe there was a song or two where the musical content was very good, but it was just a bunch of screaming and just a bunch of shit. I mean, it's banging pots at some point. I hate to be critical of bands, but I did not enjoy that one.
You have to.
Well, being a musician, you get a band on a tour and you get a band that plays four chords the entire fucking set that they do. Okay. And
I feel called out, sir.
No, fuck you. They have some hype around them because they're playing four chords and a bunch of fucking open chords, which doesn't count. It's just a bunch of breakdown. It's just a bunch of noise. It's a bunch of shit. Somehow you get picked up.
But what's their TikTok reach like?
That's what I'm saying, man. It's a fucking joke. It's a fucking scam.
Also, with Revolver, I will say, if you give Revolver enough money, they'll advertise any goddamn body. That's their Revolver. You pay them enough fucking money, they will advertise a fucking trash can. If you give them $1 million, a trash can, hottest metal album of the year.
Their TikTok reach is up there, bro. Revolver's the mag for you.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is, like, I've even thought about, like, hell, I'll give Revolver some money if they'll fucking give us a cover, because, shit, dude, if Revolver gives October Noir a cover, October Noir is fucking on tour for the next 3 years, period.
Yeah, they got reach.
Period. Yeah. I mean, if they'll write an article about us and they'll push it out, dude, I'm fucking packing my bags and we're gone. But they don't want to touch it right now, I guess. It's fucking crazy, man. This whole thing is a game. It's a scheme. So, anyway, we're not talking about the business. We're talking about the music. So
that's right.
Let's get back to it.
It was nice aside, though.
We're gonna skip so fucked up. So the last category for our live shows of 2022 is just a general cool live band, all around badass, and you feel like they were worthy of a mention. I want to lead off this category. Firstly, Der Veganer Freiheit and Regardle am Tombeur, from Germany and France, respectively. Der Veganer Freiheit is a black metal band I've been mentioning on the podcast essentially since the podcast began back in 2018. I've been a huge fan of them. Finally got to see them live, and they delivered the goods on this modern take on black metal. A little progressive influence, but all around super badass. Regardle am Tombeur is also a little bit more in that progressive black metal vein. I'd also never gotten a chance to see them before, but they were incredible. Highly recommend you check them out. Panopticon, first time I ever got to see them. They played a whole slab of new stuff as well as from their most recent album. And again, Into the Light. It was life-changing at best and all around badass at worst. I would also like to mention Migwa, who I got to see also play for the first time at Psycho Las Vegas this year, was also fantastic. I know they have some controversy surrounding them. Highly recommend Mono Lord. Saw them again. Also not for the first time, but they're fucking fantastic, especially if you're under the influence of psilocybin. That's all I'm saying.
Also, I'm gonna check them out. I hear so much about that fucking band. I've heard some of the shit in the past. I'm always like, it's not bad. I don't love it, but I don't necessarily hate it. It's just kind of in the middle range.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Finally, the last band that I feel like I should mention as far as just overall cool bands was Merciful Fucking Fate, bro. Never thought I'd get a chance to see them live, but holy fuck, I did. And that's all I can say. Yeah. Merciful Fate. If that North American tour gets extended, I highly recommend you check that shit out. King Diamond still's got it. It doesn't matter. It's not the 80s and it's 2020s. King Diamond brings the goods. Vocally, I'm sure stage presence wise, just absolutely brings it.
I'm sure he honestly sounds better because I even heard from people back in the day. And this is I've seen this on more than one occasion where the King didn't sound like good in the 80s because he was a smoker at the time. So he smoked like a lot. So he didn't necessarily sound the best back in the 80s, at least like the mid to late 80s. So I'm sure he honestly sounds probably better than being back then because he's been quit smoking like 20 years ago or so.
Boys, what about you? Overall, cool bands. Just good shit.
I'll go next. One of the ones that I had was looking forward to MDF was Nocturnus AD, which is fronted by Mike Browning, who was an original member of Morbid Angel. He does drums and vocals, and they're about some classic kind of progressive death metal back in the day. And then they returned as Nocturnus AD because there are some copyright issues with the name. So they had AD, like Entombed AD, shit like that. But they brought a super shreddy keyboard. They even did a cover of Angel. What's the song? I believe it's track 7 off Warrior of Covenant, Angel of Disease. They did a cover of that, which I expected. I actually got a decent video of that. And that was phenomenal. Ruins of Beverost, who they're like, say they're at least their newest record was kind of gothy, black metal, a little progressive. I saw them. It was Thursday at MDF, and they were really good. And they literally like 7-8 songs were like 10 minutes long. And it was like first real day at MDF, and I enjoyed it. But the whole time I'm watching the clock because I'm far left. I'm watching the clock the whole time, the right side of the stage. This is good, but it's a really long intro. Can we speed up a little bit, guys? I dig it. Let's see another band. The band The Ocean. They opened up for Catatonia when I saw them a month ago, and for a lot of post-metal type shit from Germany, and they were pretty good, I'm not gonna lie. Though at least three of their songs straight up sound like 90s grungy rock songs, and I'm thinking like this is supposed to be post-metal. I don't quite get the hype here, but they were entertaining though, so I will give them that. And the final cool live band of this year, I would have to say, would be none other than Overcast. I got to see them. Then I saw At the Gates, Bleeding Through, Municipal Waste. Overcast is the original band where Brian Fair of Shadows Fall and Mike D of Killswitch got their start. They're kind of like the original metalcore band of the whole Northeastern scene. P. Cortez, too, is also an original Killswitch member as well. So it was cool to be able to see that original style of metalcore, which a little bit of the new metal, but the breakdowns and everything. It was killer. It was to see the point to where the foundation 20 years later, see where it all came to. That was a good metal history lesson, I would say.
Cool bands I've seen this year. But turbulent year in my camp, but I have seen some. I've seen a couple of cool bands for where I live, which granted, people don't understand where you guys live and where I live is totally different. It's a fucking barren wasteland here.
Although I must say, Mobile, we got to give us some credit. I've seen Trivium there. You've seen Ghosts there.
I met you at Trivium there. Yes. Yeah.
Mobile is 17. Slowly. I played with All That Remains there.
Yeah.
Like slowly increasing the profile in the metal world. Slowly.
Phil sounds like shit live.
Metallica and Ozzy have both played Mobile. Give it some credit.
Yeah. Well, just that was 30 years ago, but you're right.
Back in my day.
Yeah. So some cool bands that I've seen this year. I saw All That Remains on their anniversary of The Fall of Ideals, which was a fucking incredible show. They played the entire album from back to front, which I thought
their best
that was
albums.
Which I thought that was pretty funny that they played it from back to front, but it actually worked very well.
As long as they nailed the weak willed.
They did. Yes. Yes.
Closed with this call, it was pretty killer.
Yes. So they played it from back to front, and that's weird because, you know, bands don't usually do that, but it was incredible. And I did get to see Crowbar on their tour, and shit, I got to see Demon Hunter, which is one of my favorite bands of all time. And they just put out an album. It was incredible. They have so many albums. So they did songs from the first album all the way to the new one. It was amazing. Anyway, I do have a lot of hope for next year because I have a lot of tickets already bought for next year. So this year has kind of been more or less focusing on my band and putting all my time into what we're doing. And kind of sacrificing the live show, but I will not do that next year.
I kind of feel you. Next year's already stacked for me. I've already got Iron Maiden, Trivium, Obituary, Malevolence, Pantera. Those three tickets already bought. I wanted to see Ozzy Osbourne and Judas Priest, but it looks like Ozzy's about to cancel that tour just because he says he can't even walk, which, you know, that sucks for the Prince of Darkness. Get well soon, my guy.
The man's done a lot of drugs. It's never ceases to surprise us Dio died. All the drugs Ozzy did, he's still alive. The worst thing that Dio did was smoke fucking weed and the man gets stomach cancer.
Yeah, and Dio petted a lot of cats. And that,
yeah,
the,
maybe yeah,
that's what it is.
I think it's because Dio had a cozier relationship with Jesus. That's what that gets you.
Could be.
But
God, Jesus needed him.
Maybe so. Like a security blanket.
Satan, one of the two, need them. So
we have one more category.
This is the bonus category, and the category is very simple. The category is called Uwata. It's about the band Uwata, who are a melodic black metal band based in the northeastern area, who are incredibly overhyped and overrated. I had the misfortune of seeing them twice at Maryland Death Fest, and I will preface this by saying I did enjoy their first record back in the
day. They booked Blink 182 twice at the Maryland Death Fest.
The only reason why is because Niflheim was supposed to play, but they canceled, so they couldn't find a replacement, so they added Uwata again for Niflheim's spot.
Pop punk meets black metal twice in a weekend. Why?
I preface all this by saying I did like Uwata a couple of years ago, the first record. I still say fairly enjoyable. I saw the open up for Inquisition. Duel was there as well. They put on a very good show.
It was. Uwata was fantastic.
But now that I am older, I have experienced a lot more better black metal in the American arena, as well as European, obviously. It's as I have found the best way to describe it. It's like baby's first melodic American melodic black metal is the best way to describe Uwata. Not bad, but the praise they get is way too high. I don't understand it. Though we'll say the pop punk song off their last record does sound really good live. I will give them that. A record I fucking hate it. Live, it does sound really good. And I will give them props to the non-vocalist guitarist because he was cool as fuck. I talked to him a few times during my Maryland Death Fest weekend. He was in the pit with me for Violence, Demolition Hammer, and Hellhammer. So the man has great fucking taste, but I guess playing baby melodic black metal pays the bills. So
I can just think, freezing moon tonight.
And I will be seeing them again in March 9th. They are playing the Middle East, which is literally 20 minutes away from where I live, with the mighty rotting fucking Christ. My laser, I've seen them before. So we're good to that. And Krok Ongrid are playing as well, who they're very entertaining, but a bit boring after a couple of songs. And Ben, you have seen live, I believe, Duel of Guerrera?
Get it, Guerrera. Fuck yeah.
Guerrera.
Check that shit out. Check that shit out.
They're the opening band. I've already had a plan.
Actually, it's funny you mentioned that. They, as well as Spectral Wound, should have been on my cool bands I saw live this year for the first time. Fantastic. Guerrera was great, but Spectral Wound really stole the show. Fantastic Canadian black metal. Fan-fucking-tastic.
They actually played around here, but it was like a Tuesday night. They played in Connecticut with traffic. It was like 2.5 fucking hours. I wanted to go, but I could not, unfortunately. So I'm hoping next time I can catch, because that last record they put out is fucking phenomenal. I need to check their earlier shit, too.
It is. I highly recommend you check that shit out. With that being said, that's going to wrap up our best live shows witnessed in 2022. We're going to move on to the last bit of the show. We felt like there were two big stories. One of them is devastating, and the other is, well, also devastating, depending on what part of
one side of the fence you fall on if you catch my drift.
Yeah, let's start off with the one that's unequivocally devastating, and that is the death of Trevor Strand from the Black Dahlia murder. Obviously, if you've listened to anything that has to do with the Fundamentalist podcast, you know what diehard fanboys all three of us were of the Black Dahlia murder as a band, and to lose the front man, the lyricist, one of the founding members, the heart and soul, one of the heart and souls of that band. You know how devastating it is to us here as a podcast and really to the metal community in general, and most specifically to his bandmates, his friends and family. Just by far the biggest bummer of 2022. Seeing the news, I guess the news kind of broke kind of late in the day because when I posted it to the Fundamentalist podcast Slack channel, and just seeing the reaction walking like, what the fuck is this real type?
Yes.
Type of reaction.
It was like 1 or 2 o'clock my time. And I was just like going to take a piss. Oh, phone went off. Trevor died. Like, no, that's a joke, right? Come on.
That's how I thought. I literally
it's one of those like stunning things. Like, no, dude, like it's black dye. Like,
yeah,
it was. Yeah, it was. Like, it was. I'm not gonna lie, it was kind of weird. Following Instagram the months prior. Oh, I'm in Atlanta. That's weird. I'm selling all my shit. That's a little weird. I'm on OnlyFans. The OnlyFans check doing content. Like, more power to you, brother. These are some red flags, as the kids say.
There's no reason to suggest that these things are related. I don't know what to say other than it was a devastating loss for me just as a music fan. I got to hang out with him a few times, both like before they got big, I guess you could say, and then after they were really one of the leading bands in death metal, and he was always the same person. He would always do shots and smoke a blunt with you, talk about death metal with you. He was just a genuine metal fan. And yes. I think that's a rare thing in the genre to meet somebody who is had so much success and is still one of the boys, essentially.
Yes. Actually, there was a guy I know in New Orleans who, I guess, it was one of the times I played Southport. And they played at the Gates of the Swarm. It didn't tell anybody. And then after the set, he went up to Trevor. It's like nice at the Ace cover. It's like, cool. We wanted to slip that in, see if anyone actually noticed, if, you know, could tell there's an At the Gates song and, you know, a Black Dahlia song. But yeah, that I had the opportunity to see them five times. And the first time was at the Metal Blade 25th anniversary tour in 2007 with a Goat Whore. Who is it? With The Absence, Goat Whore, The Red Cord, Black Dolly, and Cannibal Corpse. It was my first death metal show, and still to this day, I would say top three show of all time for me. Like, every fucking band brought their A game. And the final time was up here in October 2021 with them headlining. I'm not going to support acts for shit. Undeath was really good opening band. Rivers of Nihil was decent. And there was some shit metalcore band. It was not a good tour package. But I could say unequivocally that was the best Black Dahlia set I've ever fucking seen. They opened up with I Will Return and closed with Miasma, a full 20-song set list. It was like I was moshing the whole time. If I half of the set, I just literally had to give in to the crowd. I'm just ebbing and flowing with the crowd. I can't even fucking move. It was magical. And, you know, I remember at one point, Brian, the guitarist, but somewhat backup vocalist, came, you know, went on the mic, you know, was like, well, thank you all for coming here. You know, the Worcester play is really important to us. You know, we promise we'll be back soon rather than later, all this type of stuff. And then 7 months later, this, like, fuck. I almost didn't go. I'm very glad I said, you know, I know someone's going. I'm going to go love Black Dahlia because it was the best that they did. And it was the last time I saw I could see Trevor live.
Maybe the last time I got to see him was in New Orleans with Meshuggah. I got a video with him. It was just a few months later that obviously it happened. Tyler?
Yeah. I got to meet Trevor once when he was on tour with Black Label Society, no doubt.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was right before COVID. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 2019, it was Black Label and Black Dahlia. And I got to meet, I got to meet Trevor. I got to meet Zach Wild and Trevor in the same night. And that was really cool. I got to talk to him and just kind of hung out with him for about 10 minutes. It's the coolest fucking guy in the world. And that was the first show that I ever seen a Black Dahlia, the first and only. So
that's a shame.
I'm glad you got to see it.
I got a chance though.
Glad you got to see it. Yeah,
me too.
I know it's not necessarily your vibe. It's not your world necessarily, but
not really. But live, it was incredible. It was incredible. So those are the differences between like recordings and live shows is sometimes when you hear songs recorded, you think, I don't really care for that much. But then when you see it live, it's a totally different environment.
Absolutely.
It was awesome.
Oh, 100%. I got a picture with Trevor. I remember you may have been the show, Duel. It was at Siberia. It was, you are the show, I believe. It was Black Dahlia, Napalm, Abnormality, and Power Trip.
Donald Trump.
And, oh, That's that after episode thing. But Black Dye was late as fuck. Like, they apparently had bus issues. And they had a blowout like 45 minutes out of New Orleans and almost didn't make the set. And Napalm Goddamn Death played for like practically 2 fucking hours, seemed like. And Barney would not shut the fuck up about Donald Trump. Donald J. Trump fashion. Donald J. Trump. Donald J. Trump. Every fucking, oh, it was cancer. Fuck, I still hate Napalm Death this fucking day. I refuse to listen to
it. Was like it was like a fever dream. I hate him too, guy, but like, I'm drunk and I'm here to see death metal.
Yeah, like, shut. I don't care if you hate him. Just keep your fucking self and play the fucking shit. God damn. But Black Dahlia, I should have fucking obliterated the place. I got to meet Trevor. I got a picture with him. Unfortunately, that file's lost the fucking universe. But he was a cool, swell guy. So that's the only personal interaction with him. But he was a wealth of knowledge for death metal. I liked how he always rocked like underrated death metal band shirts and bring attention to them. He was just like, oh, I'm in this big band. Fuck you peons. You're not fucking shit. No, he'd bring bands. Not necessarily good bands, but he'd give bands a chance and shit or talk about underground shit.
Yeah, like before I met Jeremy, before I even formed Curse of the Flesh, I saw Black Dahlia Murder in Mobile, Alabama, dude. And the band they were playing with was a two-piece fucking doom metal, instrumental doom metal band called Beast in the Field. And they're still one of my favorite doom metal bands to this day. They're broken up, underground as fuck, cult cut there, my guys. But that's the kind of band they were. Just bringing a two-piece instrumental doom band from them from their home state of Michigan just down to Mobile, Alabama. You want to play this fucking show with us? Cool. Here you go. They made a fan for life out of me. And that's still one of my favorite Black Dahlia Murder shows ever. Because they also ended that show with I Will Return 2 years after that record came out. And they fucking brought it.
Dude, I didn't expect all of that last stuff play. Like, oh, what's on the open up? And I have a couple ideas. I Will Return was not anywhere in the category that opened up. Holy fuck. And they played A Feudal Thirst. Like, that's like the third song. Like, they fucking pumped up that first part of their set, just kept it going throughout. Oh, dude, it was a great set, man. Fuck, dude. And Trevor just, such a great front. Like, he was a front man. Like, I feel that people use the term front man and singer interchangeably, but there's really not. There's just a front man and a vocalist.
I mean, you mentioned some of these songs, like Statutory Ape is one of my favorite songs, and all I'll ever think of when I hear that song title is how I won't ever hear Show Me Your Muscles, right? Because that shit's going on stage. Yeah. Just the outright goofiness, but I guess you could say the charisma of it all. Like, he was both making fun and being super endearing at the same time of the genre that obviously he loved, but he knew what was ridiculous about it and he was able to play into it. It's just a goddamn travesty. It's a shame, dude. And
yeah, they had so many great records put out. He had so many, like, I believe they just started a podcast too. Only like a couple episodes in, like under five or so, where he was able to appeal to all death metal and shit. He had a article, whatever monthly he would do on Metal Injection too, where he would expose like underground bands. He's an active listener.
The Obituarist
The Obituarist, yeah. So he would bring attention to the bands. Instead of his platform, like, I'm hot shit. He's like, here's some other cool. So he was an active listener. He wasn't just like this jaded cocksucker like a lot of guys are that would normally be in his fucking position.
I think that's the most devastating thing about it all. It's just the everyman nature that he had, that he possessed. It didn't matter. Like, he was the same person when I met him in 2007 as he was when I saw him for the last time in 2019. Just a genuine dude. He was a metal fan. Cool with meeting other metal fans. And I know how hard that is as a touring musician, how many people you see every day and night and still have time for people to come up to you, just randos like myself, and to make such an impact every single time, to be that cool every single time. I don't know. It's just awesome. It's great to see. And it's a huge loss that he won't be around to, I guess, affect other people, but that infectious enthusiasm for metal fans and the metal genre, metal music. It's, I don't know, it's just terrible, man. It just brings a tear to your eye.
Yeah, no, it does. Because I remember, I believe it was last November, his mother died, apparently close relationship with her. So he took like a month and a half break from social media in general. So that kind of affected him a lot. And he would also, another review, he was on the tour I saw him on. He was discussing how basically, you know, due to his every man's sense, you know, taking a, you know, a shot of blood and shit, he would talk about how he would drink so much, his tolerance would be so high. He would basically have to be somewhat constantly inebriated to just get through a fucking tour and stuff. So I'm sure health-wise, it obviously didn't help him either because, yeah.
He had discussed how the pandemic had drastically affected his mental health, and as it did with a lot of people.
A lot of people.
I don't want to speculate at all.
No. This is an interview, so he said, no, I'm not circling shit. I'm just saying.
All I can say is he's a huge loss for not only the death metal community, but the metal community at large. He is an undisputed hero in my life, as well as the life of not only this podcast, but my other podcast, and a huge influence on me musically and the music of both bands that I have been involved in professionally. I don't know what else to say other than rest in peace, Trevor Strand. Yeah. You were one of the real ones.
Rest in power, Trevor Strand.
The last thing we're going to talk about tonight is another travesty in the world of heavy metal. Except
the new Metallica song?
No. And while you're justified in saying that, Mr. Lux Eterna, we're going to talk about another travesty in the world of heavy metal. Oh. The reunion of Pantera is the story I'm talking about. So naturally, we kind of all assumed that after Dimebag Darrell died, there would eventually be at least one off Pantera reunion show. It was almost every single year there was rumors that Zakk Wylde would join up with Phil Anselmo and Rex Brown and Vinnie Paul, and eventually they would have a big ass tribute to Dimebag, like, you know, tribute to his life and the legacy of Pantera music. However, there was always some barbs being slung in the media, and Phil and Vinny never got close enough reunited to the point where that was ever a possibility. Fast forward to, what was it, 2018, 2019, when Vinny Paul unfortunately died. And at that point, the only two people left living, because I think even Diamond Vinny's girlfriends and wives are dead now too, I believe. So really, it's only Rex Brown and Phil Anselmo who have anything relevant to say about what happens to Pantera. And lo and behold, there's a Pantera reunion tour coming out 2023. There's already been some shows. One took place in Mexico City just a few days ago. And it's a huge thing in the metal community. Are you going to go see it? Part of me thought I was going to be that guy. Part of me thought I'd be that guy, but I like to give people the benefit of the doubt most times.
Okay, Mother Teresa.
Okay, all right.
I'm going to see that Pantera reunion show here in Prague in June. I like Zakk Wylde. I like Charlie Benante, I will forgive them for when in a year they announce the new Pantera studio album.
Oh, it's going to happen.
Yeah, hashtag you love them both, and hopefully that doesn't happen. But if it does, it might be incredible. Who knows?
It'll sound like Pantera, but let's be real. We've been forced.
A celebration. Yeah. Oh no. Honestly, this has been the rumor for 10 or 15 years. So the fact this happened isn't surprising at all. But
yeah,
the new
Pantera record called Black Tooth Grin.
That would probably be it. But
it's all the B-sides from Reinventing the Steel.
No,
Zakk Wylde plays some pinch harmonics. Phil goes, it's also a million copies. The end.
Oh, wow. All jokes aside, this whole Pantera unit thing. I like many people could say, actually, Pantera was one of my first real gateways into heavier music, along with Metallica, the Black Album, specifically Focus Lit Power, Killswitch, End of Arc, shit like that. That's what got me from like old school metal to heavier shit, and then further death metal, things of that nature. So I do love Pantera, but I list those records so goddamn much. They're seared into my brain. So I literally have to never list them ever again if I didn't want to. the occasional pop one on. And Vinny, as good a drummer as he is, he was a bit basic. So I feel that you could get away with a proper unilat without him. But Dimes' soul was his fucking playing. And he is, especially after his death, it's overrated as fuck. Not shitting the guy, but I'm just being fucking real here. But still, the fact that he's gone, just, I personally wouldn't go. Like, especially if they're playing with new Metallica. Unless they were playing, I believe they're playing in 2023 around Boston. If it was honestly them, I might go, but I'm not going for like a 45-minute Pantera set to see Metallica play for 2 fucking hours. I'm not doing that shit. So if they come back around, I just might. I'm not, but it's a tribute. It's not Pantera. It's a celebration of Dime and Vinny's music, y'all.
It's a celebration of that paycheck, yo.
Obviously. Because fucking, no one gives shit. He broke up Superjoy. Phil's solo projects are fucking ass. Down just meh. And let's be real. Down peaked on NOLA. They peaked on their first fucking record.
That is their best record. But hey, I want to say the first two Down 4 EPs were awesome.
I didn't really check it. I'm not saying they're bad. I never checked them out. Down 2 was good. I did like Down 2.
That was supposed to be a four-parter. There's two more Down 4 EPs floating around there somewhere.
And Down 3 wasn't bad, but literally with that, it was literally the Law of Diminishing Returns. You start off with your best shit out of your second one, still really good. Like, almost a level. Third one, like, it's a bit inconsistent. Still really good for the style.
I like all Down records. I like every single one.
Indeed. Me too.
It ain't bad. The first two is all I need first.
I mean, they're all incredible.
I won't disagree that the first one's the best. I'd agree with that. But I think I like the second one, A Bustle in Your Hedgerow, more than most people. And I think the third one, Over the Under, is fantastic. And the Down 4 EP, the first two were incredible.
I only heard a few. I need to revisit the EPs. I will say that.
You should.
Down 3, like, I did lie.
Listen to like the single Witch Tripper.
I hate the video just because it's like, I think it's a 10-minute long song. It's short. Like, I hate that shit when you have like 10-minute long song. We're going to scrunch into a 4.5-minute video. Why? Type it in Prophet to Do. It's like an 10-minute song. We're going to put this into a 4.5-minute video. Yeah, what the fuck?
That's kind of odd. That one was kind of odd because on that one, they, Kirk had decided to drop out of Down, and they brought in
the Crowbar full time.
Yeah, and they brought in the guitar player for Honky. Bobby Landgraf.
Now Kirk's back.
That's the most Louisiana fucking name I've
heard. Yeah, Bobby Landgraf with that beard, with a huge beard. Yeah. Yes,
and the cowboy hat.
Actually, yes. I could say Honky, man.
I've only seen Down once. It was at the Hangar. R.I.P. the Hangar. Austin Nola, they burnt down.
Yes.
That bar right next to there, that's the most I ever wanted to gamble. The gambling machine there, I won like 60 fucking bucks. I got a ticket money back, and it was like dollar PBRs. I was so shit here.
There was a barbershop right next door, too. There was.
That was, I guess, before or after I was there. And the openers were awful. It was that band Horse Something or Another. It was filled
with Pony Killer.
Fuck, that shit was in the ass. It fills a side of stage. Yeah, this is real good. I'm like, Bill, this is real fucking awful. What the fuck, dude? But Down was great. They did NOLA start to finish. That's all they played. And it was like, yes. Yeah, I think it was Phil's son or somebody. Like, because they were a guest on Bury Me in Smoke. I believe it was son, or I guess some kid of someone he knew. Kind of did the solo as well. That was kind of cool. But they had NOLA start to finish, like literally track one to Bury Me in Smoke. It was a great show. And it was the first show without Rex as well. Because the whole show airs like, where's Rex? Where's Rex? Where's Rex? And then what's-his-name comes out. Their current bass player came out.
Pat Brooders?
Pat Brooders came out. And actually,
fucking love Pat.
No, Pat's cool. There's some good or show, Gossa. And actually, I spoke to Joint with him. And we were talking. I actually was talking to this little lady. I said, "Yeah, I know I have a son." Da da da. He was like, "Well, that's cool, man. You know, I don't have any kids. When I die, I'm gonna be like, you know, like a voice in the wind, just gone."
Speaking of a voice in the wind, that's what we're about to be, because this podcast is fucking over. Do either of you cunts have anything extra you want to say to the audience for the last bit of this episode?
Oh, we're rambling right now. I will say this. My solo content's coming. I'm being underground shit from all genres to the light for all you fuckers to hear. I have things on the way. And one thing I would like to focus more on 2023 with your help, too, of course, is a genre that's probably my next to least favorite extra riding core, which would be black metal. And I want to kind of explore more of that shit. I know it's some good shit. To me, it's a very hit or miss genre. And I want to find more of the good shit. So I could put black metal up there. I could put death metal and death doom and things like that. At least be somewhat close.
Listen to everything I post to the What We've Been Listening To channel on Slack. I promise you'll be a death metal, black metal fucking professional.
All right.
Good real deal. Soon.
And new shit. I know the class, like Emperor. I know all that shit. I need new shit.
I'm talking about stuff released in the last 5 years.
Like, yeah. That's what I'm looking for. The past 10, 15 years, or band starts like started in the 90s, not necessarily the 80s, or you know, that type of shit. But yeah, that's one of the things I'll work on in 2023.
Well, already started with the best black metal of 2022. You should listen to that, obviously, because you were on it. And you, maybe. dear listener, if you want to hear some killer new black metal, you should probably check that out too. A band that was not mentioned on that you should probably check out, Cerastus. Their most recent release, I think it was in 2019. Kind of black and roll and melodic black metal put together. Really cool shit. And the, that latest Hellripper, the Knuckle of E.
I need to check that shit out.
Rips, for lack
actually,
of a better term.
One more shout out I don't want to give out. RIP Dark Fortress, who are breaking up in 2023, which honestly was a long time coming. Their last year has been kind of meh, I'm not gonna lie. Their 2016 was their AP on Opeth. It wasn't bad. And the newest one, I expect to return to form. While being good, it was very formulaic. And I'm very happy as though to catch them at MDF. Then a kind of a shorter set, kind of like you with Katatonia. They had issues, say tech issues. So it took like 15 minutes fucking with the drums to actually play. So I got a 35-minute set in the end. But their Island record is a huge fan of that record. So either breakout, I was glad at least to see them one time. They were phenomenal in that short 35, 40 minute set they did. So,
at least there was the one.
Yes. What about yourself, Tyler?
Before we leave, our boy, our friend, Tyler Fleming of the Noir Hour podcast, who was so kind to join us on this Best Live Shows of 2022.
Appreciate you, brother.
Yes, thank you. We'd be remiss if he didn't leave us with a very special gift, a Christmas present to the Fundamentalist podcast listeners, his top 10 albums of 2022.
Oh,
right now. Dropping it.
At number 10, and I hate to put this at number 10, but it is Black Braid with Black Braid 1.
Killer record.
That album is incredible. I hate to put it last, and I hate to put any of these bands in any order because they're all very they're all top tier. So
Black Braid may or may not be making my top 10 list. Maybe the listeners will have to listen to our episode to find out.
Oh, wait and find out, kids. It's gonna be magical.
I can imagine that it would. Okay, fucking and right. Up next at number 9 is going to be a band called In the Woods, and the album is called Diversium.
Now, this band, the new record, yeah.
So you know them?
Yeah, they started out as kind of like avant-garde black metal, and then they came back the past couple of years. This guy's heard it's been a little more doomy as comparison to the early shit. Yeah, I have an idea about that.
Yes, that album is absolutely incredible. Man, ooh, it is so good. I've been playing it on the radio for the past 2 or 3 weeks.
I got to listen.
So, So number 8 is going to be Goat Whore.
Nice.
Angels Hung from the Arches of Heaven. This album is my favorite Goat Whore album ever made.
Wow, that's big words. It didn't make my top 10, which is a lot.
This is my favorite Goat Whore album ever. I don't know why. It hits the chords for me. It hits
better than Carreth Eyes of God, better than Vengeful Ascension.
I'm not a super heavy black metal person, but this album hits those chords for me.
One thing I can't say about this, I think it's why I didn't vibe with I like it a lot. I didn't vibe with it, is the fact that they're all the other records that kind of lead towards like black metal, kind of thrash, and all the black and roll. And this one to me was a kind of a perfect balance. There's two songs of the record I feel are very much traditional metal minus the vocals. And then you have the thrash, you have the black metal, and everything was so well balanced to me. It was kind of weird. Yeah. It was like, that's the one that's not a bad thing. It's just kind of a more personal thing to myself. Like, it's very well mixed and balanced. And Kurt Ballou does a great job.
Yeah. Well, I hate to interrupt you, but I feel like, I feel like they found their perfect mix. Like, this is the album that could set Goat Whore into the atmosphere. Like, get him there. I love it.
Really take them to the next level.
Yes, indeed. Okay, and number seven, I've got Ibaraki. Okay.
Ibaraki.
Sorry. Yeah.
Okay. Question before you continue. Your thoughts on Nurgle's guest spot. Was it cool, or was it just there for their sake? I have to ask. Be honest, don't lie.
The answer is it's cool, bro.
Oh, I think it was awesome. I'll be honest, man. I think that this album was, it kind of felt like another Trivium album. Okay. But it felt like a weird one. But it also felt masterpiece in a lot of ways to me, because it was so weird. It was so different. I really I love this fucking album, man.
I will say, I do like some Rodan.
I have Duel to thank for this album.
It's phenomenal. It's fucking phenomenal. It's one of my favorites of the year. You might or may not see it on my year-end list. Just saying. Yeah.
Maybe. We'll see. I will say Rodan. That was the surprise track for me, because Gerard Way had a black metal record. He was the best guest vocalist by far. Yeah. He blew Nurgle and everyone else away. Like, it was like, no way. That's Gerard Way. I looked at Wikipedia. That's him. You know, those screams. God damn, this man could do it. Holy fuck.
Yeah.
Way impressed. Not a big MCR fan, but of this track, he brought his fucking A-plus game. What power to you, Gerard Way?
That's the kind of shit that might make you like go back and listen to My Chemical Romance and just to see if it.
I don't. I'm a fool.
Let's not get carried away here.
Well, I love my emo, so it made me go back and kind of listen to my Kim a little bit.
Hey, more power to you. I'm a first four coding Cambria guy. They got the progressive edge through the emo element, still the progressive edge, but first four coding guy after that, but you're here to miss. First four, though, some of my favorite records of all time, especially the second one, to Keep a Secret Side on Earth Part Two. Fucking god tier, dude.
Jake, my drummer Jake, you and him could bond over that, I suppose.
Yeah, my brother Jake and him and his Coheed Cambria. I could never fucking get into it, man. I tried so hard. I tried. I tried so hard. Dude, I tried.
I believe you. What's the thing? You said this shit a couple months ago. That Daniel Lionized, the guitarist of him. That shit to me was emo AIDS cancer. Like, what? I got three songs in. The cringe is too much.
Did you listen to volume three?
It was the one you sent me. I got like four songs in. I tried. I promise you. I couldn't do it. I was like, no.
You didn't listen. I sent you the wrong album then.
Maybe.
I will send it to you again after we get done with this.
I will give anything a shot. You know, I'm a elitist gatekeeper cocksucker. I know that you are.
And I love
self-admitted. But no, I'll give anything a shot. I love DMX. This ain't metal. I love DMX. DMX,
yeah, well,
killer rap.
I don't at all. So
that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. But say I like non-metal shit.
Yeah, I do too. I just like all the wrong things for my gatekeepers. So, oh well.
Yes.
All right.
Move on to the list.
At number six, I've got Ghost. I've got this new Ghost album.
Yes.
Okay, so I had not even had that Ghost album on my radar, and Duel sent it to me, and I listened to it one time, and I said it was dog shit.
What?
And then I gave it another chance because I didn't really sit down with it.
You have to.
And the new Ghost album is probably the best Ghost album there ever is.
Actually, I agree 100%.
Was so weird because you know how like when you listen to albums, like you're just it's background music. You're like, oh, what the fuck's going on? And you just skip and skip and skip, and finally it's over and you're done with it. Well, I really sat down with this album. This album was fucking incredible.
Yes.
Spillways.
Yes.
Darkness.
Yes.
The Heart of My Love.
Yes.
Yes.
Spite of the Spittlefields. This is the best Ghost album ever.
Yes. I agree 100%.
And I was around when the first Ghost album came out, and I thought, oh, they're just dark and they're just satanic and they're just
overrated.
Like, yeah, pretty much. But this Ghost album had substance, and I can see why they won a Grammy. You know what I mean? Like, this is
did they win? Album.
Yes, I think they did. I think they won a Grammy for this album.
Yeah, like what I love about this record is Meliora. I did like the first record is all right. I don't necessarily hate it, but I thought it was a little overrated. But this was the first Ghost record that truly connected with me. Like, really, the past 2 years, dove into the Dawkins, the Wingers, the Warrants. Like, I'm all about the shit now, along with the death metal of the shit. But this record has that catchiness and stuff. The fact I found out, I think it was a couple months ago, that Frederick Atkinson of Opeth wrote all the solos for the fucking record. And apparently, this Mikhail Ackerville says in a recent interview that a Pear Sodomizer, who was in Bloodbath and played on Catatonia Dead End Kings, is also currently in the Ghost lineup as well. He is one of the unnamed ghouls. Well, that was going to be a shocker. This record's great.
All right, so my number five is going to be Crowbar, Zero and Below. So Crowbar has a new album this year. It's fucking incredible, man. I mean, it's more of the same. It's amazing Crowbar music. There you go. I mean, you got standout tracks, Her Evil is Sacred, Chemical Gods. I mean, it's a great album. I love it. I saw them on this tour. Love it. Number four is going to be Lacrimus Profundi, which is a band from Finland, and it's going to be How to Shroud Yourself in Light. And this album is awesome. I know y'all probably don't give a shit about that album, but Lacrimus Profundi is amazing.
Never heard of it. What's the genre?
What? What? You've never heard of Lacrimus Profundi?
No, I haven't. I've heard a lot of weird shit.
See, that's the thing is, like, you're a huge fan of Swallow the Sun, but you've never heard Lacrimus Profundi?
Nope.
Sounds like you have some homework to do tonight, because Lacrimus Profundi, this last album, they've been around for a long time, and it seems that their latest album has really gone from more of like hymn style love metal, just straightforward.
So cringe.
But now, but now there's a lot of like doomy elements to their albums. Okay. As what I would prescribe to Swallow the Sun, even. There's a lot of that in there.
All right, I'll give it a shot. I'll check it out.
How to Shroud Yourself in with Light by Lacrimus Profundary. Right. I think you'll like it, Richard. Duel don't give a shit. I know that.
Well, what was on par with the last Swallow the Sun record? Because that was a little more light than I expected. So a little poppy as well.
Let's move on so he can mention something cool.
Well, I wish that last Swallow the Sun album would have been made this year, because it would have been number one. That was a great fucking album.
It was very good. I prefer the previous record, A Light in the Shadows. I believe that's the spirit. It was still really good. I'll give props to props too, but still.
Yeah. What's your okay, my number three is Amorphous with Halo. This is my number three album of the year. It's fucking incredible, man. Everything's amazing, but it's a lot heavier than I'm used to with Amorphous. They had a standalone single in November called The Well. Incredible. So that's number three. And Richard isn't here to debate me, and Duel, you're just hanging around. So number two is going to be Korn with Requiem.
What the fuck?
Hey,
Jesus Christ on a crutch,
dude.
I thought Pete was bad with Sepultura's number one like a year or two ago. Holy fuck, dude. Korn peaked with their debut record. That's a great record. Daddy's one of those emotional songs in metal history. Top three, possibly number one. And everything kind of was hit or miss after that. And in 2022, my brother in Christ, they're putting this record as number two of fucking year.
Holy, yes, sir, I am.
Please, I need reasons. I love you. I need reasons. Please give it to me raw.
Okay. It's just, I've listened to it a lot. I mean, how many times have you listened to the new Amorphous album?
None. I'm not a big Amorphous fan. I like the Finnish death metal, but there's not a Finnish death metal like. I like the first three records. Yeah, first three Amorphous are like. If that's
kind of, oh, man.
No, they have good shit. I'm not the guy that hates later Amorphous. No, well, like, Elegy. It was just Elegy. I know it's a lot different than the earlier death metal show. Elegy is a fucking awesome record.
Look, check this new album out. They actually go pretty heavy, and it's actually very respectable. It's nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'll definitely give it a shot, 100%.
I mean,
and your favorite record of the year?
If it sucked, I wouldn't tell you to listen to
it. I understand, but so Korn's number two. I mean,
it's just the way it wound out. You know, I should have put Korn at number 10. I should have put Black Parade at number two.
No, it's all good. Go ahead, give us your favorite record of the year.
Yeah, give us your favorite record, because that's cancer.
Duel's about to fucking fall asleep.
It is. It is midnight for me right now, and if we're already right, going. So, we're already so going at two so hours, which is wild.
My number one is going to be Demon Hunter with Exile, just because that's one of my favorite bands of all time.
Does the power and of that, Christ compel you, or something?
Yes, what is yes, this? It does. Literally, it does. And I have Ben Smythe right up on my forehead with a cross.
Tyson's in the building.
Yes. My Lord and Savior has smited me right upon my forehead. See you in heaven, I hope.
But I'm for hell, bro.
Well,
I'm fucked. So.
No, I don't prefer hell, but I do prefer heaven. But no, Demon Hunter. That I have waited for a new Demon Hunter album, and it hadn't disappointed me, so I put it as my number one. So, there we go. It's just a list of favorite bands, and
hey, that's how it is. That's how it is, brother. We more than appreciate you giving to us.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us here on the Fundamentalist Podcast as we close out the year 2022.
tell the listeners where they can listen to you at the Noir Hour podcast and your band, October Noir.
Yes, you can hear my radio show on perturbradio.com every Wednesday night. And you can check us out at October Noir on all streaming services, you know, October Noir.
Hell there, yeah. You go. Richard, yes. Donahue, thank you so much for joining, per usual, my guy.
Of course.
Richard, I love you. It's been a great night, brother.
Fuck yeah, dude.
This has been the Fundamentalist Podcast. I'm your host, Dual Guest. Thank you for listening. And we'll be chatting with you one more time before the end of the year with our albums of the year for 2022. Until then, goodbye.